My guest on Dan Really Likes Wine this week is looking annoyingly fresh and youthful and happy and completely unconcerned with life, which I know really, really does make me cross, because you are the mother to a newborn child. I remember my days of having new kids, and basically I look like Uncle Fester from the Addams Family, big deep black eyes, I haven't slept at all, and you're looking fabulous. Have you got the most amazing baby ever, or you're just really good at hiding it?
Yeah, I guess I'm just really good at hiding it. It's 4.5 months old now, so I've been through it.
Oh, well, congratulations, first of all.
Thank
it's such
you.
A wonderful journey. And one I think you're probably prepped for in a different way to many others, in that harvest time is probably not dissimilar to trying to manage a newborn baby.
Yeah, definitely not.
It's a wonderful addition, and it's great to have as this story unfolds. And it's a story I've been lucky enough to watch unfold over a number of years. Now, I think your name first crossed my wine horizon going back to the Cape Winemakers Guild Protégé program. And that was when you'd already done plenty of wine studies, certainly. But that's when it really kicked in a gear for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I obviously did the Protégé program for 3 years and then started working full-time with Andrew and Chris. So yeah, I've been here for 6 years now, and yeah, it's still learning.
Which is the beauty of wine, you always will.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have done so if you hadn't embarked on this wine path. At what point did young Gaynor think, yep, I might be interested in making wine?
Yeah, so we always joke, Chris, Andrew and I, that I'm one of the few winemakers in the Swartland that's actually from the Swartland. So I grew up in Malmesbury, which is a smaller town in the Swartland. And yeah, always surrounded by vineyards and always fascinated, how do these grapes turn into wine? And I guess when I was in matric in high school, I just kind of wanted to do something different. Because in my family, it's nurses or you're a teacher. And that's it. And that's how I got into winemaking. I applied to Elsenburg, and the rest is history.
I think that's a very natural transition, though, because you are educating us and you're making us feel better. So
exactly.
It's teaching and nursing in a slightly different manner.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the response with the family when you said, this is what I'd like to do?
They were a bit surprised, but very, very supportive. Yeah.
Are they wine drinkers?
Yes, my dad and my mom are, but not really the others in my family. Yeah.
I'd imagine there's a great deal of pride when they get to open a bottle. And if they're anything like my mum, who's absolutely impossible, but telling all their friends and showcasing and just being like mums and dads should be.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my dad has a whole collection now of wines. So I would say he's proud.
The Guild program is such an extraordinary program, and you're one of many who has been through it and been a beneficiary of it. And whatever you do, whoever you meet with, you're going to learn so much over the years. But meeting Andrea was, I think that was written in the stars.
I think so too.
I feel it was always meant to happen.
Yeah. No, it kind of just, everything just gelled together. I think it was fate. Meeting Andrea and the Guild and getting the opportunity to come work on Roundstone as a protégé. I mean, that was amazing. And then getting a full-time job here, it was really amazing. And then getting the chance to make great wines. So, yeah, it's been a journey.
When you start on the program, you start actually working full-time on a wine estate. It's the natural extension of a study you've done, but it is a very different world. When you did that first year of the program, when you're now a proper winemaker, proper member of staff, how different was it to what you were expecting?
Well, first of all, it felt like I was throwing the deep end. So I worked at Tukara in my first year, and Miles Mossop at the time was still there. And it was really just an eye-opener for, wow, Gaynor, you're still so insecure about things. and it was really fun working with him. I learned a lot because I could really see the growth personally and professionally, from being this shy person to transitioning into this great winemaker.
And it's a transition that people like Miles enable you to make. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, you know, if you're a rugby player and right, I'm getting to go and train with Sia Colisi, or I'm going to get to go and do a week with the Sharks. Uh-huh. Or that's really what it is as a winemaker.
Yeah. No, it was the pinnacle of winemaking, working with Miles, with Charles Hopkins in my second year, the Grendel, and then obviously working with the Malinus. So
I love the fact you brought up Charles, because his name probably comes up more than anybody else's when I talk to the protégés. And I adore him. And he's just this absolute mountain of love for wine and love for sharing his knowledge for wine. Mm-hmm. And I think actually he enjoys looking after protégés even more than he likes making wine.
Yeah. No, he's a very good father figure. He's a very good mentor. I think you learn a lot more about life with him as well when you work under him.
You struck gold, as you're well aware, because you had three of the very best to work with. But I don't think it took Andrea too long to realize that she'd struck gold as well, because she was very quick to know that you were somebody she wanted to bring home in so many senses. But when she did have that conversation with you, mm-hmm. how much of a surprise was it?
It was a big surprise, eh? I thought I was getting fired because Andrea and Chris called me in the office there by the winery, and they sat me down. They're like, "You've been with us for a year and a bit now, but we think it's time now for you." I'm like, "Time for what?" And then they brought this amazing project to my attention, and I was like, "Yes, of course I'll do it." Of course. So yeah, it was an amazing feeling that they had so much vertrouwen. I don't know what the English word
they
is.
They believed in you then.
Yes, exactly.
It's terrific, and it brought you home as well, which mm-hmm. just completed that whole story.
Yes.
And it led to the bottle of wine and the story behind that bottle that I have in front of me on the table now. And that is this Great Heart Project. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of good in our wine industry. There are a lot of people with their hearts in the right place. And there's a lot of philanthropy. But even amongst all of that, this stands out as something that does go the extra mile in terms of how it's created and who benefits. For people who haven't come across this, give us the story and give us why this is so special.
So Great Heart Wines was created, as you know, in 2020. So right in the middle of COVID.
It was a great time to start a new business.
Yeah, the best time. We started small. We started with Chenin and a red blend, and that was the two wines we started with. Great Heart is owned by the employees of Malinu and Lupusant Wineries. So all of us are shareholders. So if you've worked for the company for 2 years, you get one share, and 5 years, two shares, and so forth. But it really is an amazing project in the sense of it's not just about making the wine. It really is about the people behind it. For instance, there's somebody from every department within the company as directors of Great Heart. So somebody from the vineyard, somebody from the winery. And it really just gives people a sense of what budgeting is. And I mean, a guy from the vineyard would never sit at a table doing budgets. So it really is a learning process for them as well. And also, obviously, the profits we make, it really does help everyone in the company, just giving them an extra money to do stuff that they normally couldn't afford. So it's really just about the people.
And the money from it, so at the risk of diving straight into the capitalist part of the narrative.
Of course.
But the money is important, and it is there because this, again, it differs from a lot of the usual charity projects where I'm going to save homeless penguins with my new penitage, and for every 9,000 bottles you buy, mm-hmm. R2 will be donated. Often the wine is not of the highest quality. Often it's kind of a tag on, and it's very unusual to find a wine that is directed in this manner that sits in a pretty premium space. And it might not quite be the pricing of some of the Molyneux, because obviously, as we both know, they overcharge terribly. but it's wine that's, this is not the bottom shelf of the supermarket, but it's also some of the best wine in the country, because you are making wine from the very grapes that Chris and Andrea draw from. And so you're not just delivering this great social uplifting project, but you're delivering some serious wine.
Yeah, we're making great wines from the project, which is great because we work with different vineyards from different areas. So not just the Swartland or not just Stellenbosch, really going out and finding some of the best vineyards to make this wine. So we really do put our heart and soul into these wines. And I'm happy that people like you can see that it's not just about the money or whatever. It's about really just making the best wine possible.
I think we don't know each other terribly well, but I've seen enough of you and we've had enough conversations, and I know enough of your relationship with Chris and Andrea that you wouldn't be happy to make wine in any other way.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So we've got one here and you have poured it for us. And I'm particularly happy because I have a great love of Cabernet Franc. And I think of all our red varietals in the last 5, maybe 10 years, it's the one that's risen from from not obscurity, but it used to kind of hang around in the background of a Bordeaux blend and not really say too much. It's kind of like my friend Donovan Rahl at a dinner party, you know, standing quietly in the background.
He's
a great press. Exactly. So we've got a Cabernet Franc here. Why choose the Cabernet Franc in an area where Syrah is so much the known quantity? And why do you think it's delivered on something that makes you happy?
So the Cabernet Franc is actually a wine of origin Franchuk. So
so this is more the Le Puissant side of
Franchuk.
Yeah. Right.
And this is actually the first release of the Cab Franc.
I'm honored.
2021 vintage. Yeah, it was. It's such an amazing wine to have on its own. I mean, if you get it right, you get it right. If you don't get it right, then I don't know. but it's such a, it's a wine that you can obviously drink with, you can taste how soft it is. You can drink it on its own. You can add it with food. So it's really a wine that's very close to my heart. As with the Chardonnay that we make and the Chenin Blanc, it's, yeah, it's really one of the best wines that we created.
The challenge, first of all, with Cabernet Franc is getting the picking right. So it's not the the green and the astringent too young. It's not the jammy nastiness too late. So that's been nailed perfectly. And what, 4 years old now? It's just coming into it. So and again, just reaffirming what we've said a couple of times already. Yes, it's a wine that you could comfortably buy and say, right, I'm helping out a community. This is my reason for buying it. As much as I love the company, as much as I would really like to see you and all of your colleagues do well, that is not my reason for buying this wine. I'm buying this because I really like it. And I think that's how it should be.
Exactly, exactly. And it's a wine that you can keep for a long time, as you can taste. It is soft now, but I mean, I'm excited to see it in 10, 12 years.
And I'm excited to see where this project goes, because I sense you're only just getting started and there's a lot more to come from it. Growing it and developing it will ask questions of you beyond just being a winemaker. And I'm sure there was a stage probably early on in Elsenburg where you thought a winemaker's job was just in a cellar. And it wouldn't have taken you too long to realize that that's not the case at all. You get some people, I look at someone like Kalilo down the road, who spends as little time in his cellar as he possibly can because he just wants to farm and he loves being out with his hands. How much of that side of being a winemaker appeals to you?
Well, I like being in the winery. Let's just get that out there. but I do think it is very important to visit your vineyards, your sites during the year while they're busy with like all the processes and all the steps. So I do go to the vineyard, but I prefer the winery.
It's a good balance to have, though, and it's a good relationship to develop your viticulturalists and making sure you're all on the same page. You have the great heart. You obviously also have a big role here within the broader Molyneux winery. What do you think the horizon does look like for you, and where down the road would you like to see yourself headed?
Wow, I hope this brand grows so that we can get our own winery someday. But that's in the far future.
That's months away.
Yeah. I really have faith that this project, this company will grow to its own winery and being really independent, not making it in our wineries, in the Molyneux and New Poussin wineries. I think that's one of the main goals, to get it to its own, like, separate entity on its own.
I have in the diary a note, and it's not on a specific date, but it is, do a Dan Really Likes Wine interview with new Cape Wine Masters Guild member, Gaynor. So we've got that down the line, because I know that's going to happen.
Yes.
It's just a case of exactly when. And when you do become a guild member, as you will, it'll be an even more inspiring story. But it's already an important one now, because when I talk to some of the South African winemakers, as women who got into the industry early on, they were very alone in the space.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've had people like Andrea who have been able to really positively impact you. But to have young women of colour in the wine industry, I look at yourself, I look at somebody like Kiara Scott, guys are having a real, real impact at a very young age. How conscious are you of that role, and have how you are now creating a role model that perhaps when you were coming through wasn't there in quite that same way?
Yeah, there was definitely, not that I can remember, winemakers that I had looked up to, as a person of color and being a woman. And I think you have a very valid point in saying that people like Kiara are doing exceptional work. And I mean, that's what everybody strives to do. She's doing so well. And very conscious of it, but also not trying to make it about that. Trying to make it about the wine and just giving the best possible part of myself to create a wine like this.
And I think that comes back to what you're doing with the Great Heart Project, where the benefit to the community is the byproduct of making great wine. So inspiring young women of color to go into wine is a byproduct of you doing what you're doing as well as you are, and with such excitement and drive and passion and all the right reasons for being in wine.
And being a mentor to younger women of color in wine. I mean, I've had a few ladies from the university reach out and saying, how are you doing? How are you coping? Can you help me with this? So it's really important to be that kind of person, to be able to mentor the up-and-coming generation.
Well, it's a role I know you'll take on very happily and be great at. And in the meantime, there is much wine to be made.
Yes.
This is the Cabernet Franc. Are we allowed to know what else is on the horizon from a Great Heart perspective?
At the moment, no. There is something in the making, but I can't say. My lips are sealed.
Very cloak and dagger game.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, let me know when it's out, and I shall very selflessly set aside some time to sample vast amounts of it and enjoy them as a result. Good luck with the little one. 4.5 months. You've only got about another 26 years of looking after and paying and looking after and paying. Mine are 10 and 8. I'm now a semi-professional Uber driver, so you've got that to look forward to down the road as well. Your little one, it'll take a few years, but will come into the world with a seriously cool mum and one hell of a seller to be able to tap into in years to come.
Yeah, I hope so.
No. Right. Well, thank you for the time. I'll let you rush off to look after the little one. Thank you for some glorious, glorious wine. And thank you for such a fabulous South African wine story. We need more of them, but the only way to have more of them is to have some to start with. You've given us a great one, and here's to many more.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Great pleasure. There we go. Gaynor Hendricks, part of the Molyneux team, Cape Winemakers Guild Protégé Project, one of the all-time stars of that, and now behind the Great Heart brand. If you haven't seen it, go and get some. Yes, it's for a good cause. Far more importantly, it's seriously good wine. Cheers.